All right. I hope everybody's doing well. I hope you're having a good day. I know that a lot of us are in a place where we're kind of snowed in still. So, Lord willing, we can give you some Bible to look at, maybe be a blessing to you. If you will, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 14. And I really hope this will be a help to you. I don't know how this is going to come across. Just because I'm used to preaching there at the pulpit, and man, it's just a blessing to be able to see everybody, and it's just a different thing whenever you're preaching to someone face to face than when you are sitting in your office. But I tell you what, thank the Lord for His Word and for the Holy Spirit that'll stir you up. And a lot of times you start off on a message and you really don't know exactly how you're going to preach the thing. You may have an outline, but you don't know what kind of fire is going to come out of that outline. But I hope it'll be something that will stir your heart to want to continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and want to stay in that fight and want to be faithful to the Lord and just want to have a spirit of encouragement. I hope this will be something to edify you. As I've studied this, it's been a great blessing to me. Like I said, if I come across like I'm being aggravated or mad or anything like that, it's just maybe it's just that I'm aggravated with what's going on with the world, and I want Christians to take heart. I want Christians to be strong in the Lord, like we're commanded over in Ephesians chapter number 6. And I want to speak to you on the subject of don't faint. Don't faint. And 1 Samuel chapter 14, I'm going to read a few verses for you, maybe 10, from paragraph mark to paragraph mark. Beginning in verse 24, the Bible says, "And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies." He's a selfish rascal. "So none of the people tasted any food, and all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath." "But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in an honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint." Don't faint. That's what, man, I hope the Lord will help you not to faint. "Then said Jonathan, My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines, and they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil and took sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat with the blood." Wow, what a story. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help somebody today, Lord. I want to thank you for my church family and many other church families, Lord, local churches and many other individuals that a lot of them in nursing homes and a lot of them just in the home sick and can't get out, and some of them just having a really hard time. Lord, I pray you'd be with them and help them not to faint, and many of them just going to work, Lord, and just fighting a good fight of just daily life. Lord, I pray you give them strength and for their mental battles, for their physical battles, Lord, ailments, and Lord, things going on at work, and Lord, just things going on in the family with friends, and some of them having even foes. Lord, I pray you'd give them strength. I pray something would be said that would be a help and a blessing today, and they get some light on your word and some honey. Lord, help them to get under the spout where the honey's pouring out, and we love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to, by way of introduction, tell you that the world will try by the spirit of Antichrist to get you to faint. Now, I want you to know that according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7, it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." So, currently, before the rapture of the church, and it's been going on for a long time, there's a spirit of iniquity. The spirit of Antichrist is working right now, and it's been working for a long time in the children of disobedience to get things ready for whenever he comes on the scene. Now, that's been going on a long time, and I'm not going to go into making predictions and things like that, but I can step out this far and say that as we get closer each day to the rapture of the church, you're one step closer as well to Satan getting enough people following him to where he can get people waxing evil every day, worse and worse. And as far as a whole, this earth is going to get worse and worse until the Lord himself has to come back and fix everything. And so that spirit is already working in the world today, and you can see it. I mean, you don't even have to turn on the news. You can see it in the attitude of people. You can see the selfishness of people and the fact that people just don't have a mind for God and the things of God. They don't have a fear of God. You can see those things. And oftentimes, you get to looking at those things, get to looking around, and it can cause worry. It can cause a distress and just anguish of soul oftentimes, and it'll start to get you to a place where you start to faint. But that's the job of the worldly spirit, is to wear out the saints. Daniel 7:25 said that Antichrist himself will wear out the saints. Now, if that's what he's going to do when he actually gets here, thank God we're going to be out of here as a church. But we know right now we're in a spiritual fight, and that's what he's trying to do, is to wear you out. You say, what's going on right now? That's the worldly spirit trying to get you to faint and trying to get you to give in and just throw your hands up and say, I'm done. Don't do it. Don't do it. So that spirit there, that spirit of the world and that spirit of the Antichrist is so descriptive here in this text that we have read. If you want to do a detailed study on a worldly evil spirit, you study the spirit of Saul. Saul, in many respects, is a type and picture of the Antichrist. And Saul describes for us in this chapter and in other chapters as well, too, of this very spirit that we're warning you about. And the spirit of Saul will try to get you to faint. That's what, if you follow that spirit, you will get to a place in your life where you're going to faint in well-doing. And I'm trying to show you some of these warnings here out of this text to keep you from fainting. And that's what's going on. You say, well, how does this have to do with our science and philosophy teaching? I tell you this, Paul warned about science and philosophy spoiling you. And you take the philosophies of this world. We'll go over some of them if I ever get to them. And you go over science today, and those two things bombard the minds of people that goes against the truth of the Word of God. And it'll get you to faint. And so Paul had to warn the Galatians about that, and they would come. They were combating the issues of their day. And you know what Paul had to tell those Galatians? And they were going through some rough issues. And people were biting and devouring one another. And things were getting rough. And he said over in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." Don't be weary in well-doing. You're doing something good. Don't be weary, for in due season, when the bill comes due, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I know some preachers right now, I hope that take heart. I know some Sunday school workers and some people who aren't even able to go to church, and a lot of people are just getting to the place to where things are really confusing. Yes, I want to tell you that that's the devil trying to get you to faint in well-doing. You just keep doing well, and if you can't go anywhere, you stand. Why? Sometimes standing stuff, I tell you what to do. You get to a place where you just stand there for a long time. I'm not talking about doing anything else, and see what the Bible is showing you illustration of. It's hard just to stay put sometimes. Sometimes you just got to stand still and know that God is able to hold you up. So in chapter 14 that we just read there, they were in a fight physically. They were literally in a physical fight, but at the same time having a mental struggle at the same time. That's what you're going through. You are in a war. The Bible says that you are in a war over Romans chapter 7. You better believe you're in a war. And it talks about a strife over in Philippians chapter 1. You're striving. You're set for the defense of the gospel and things like that. Why? And guess what? At the same time, they were distressed. If you'll notice in chapter 14, verse 24, they were distressed that day. Now, the job is to keep so many confusing, opposing views going on that you don't know which one's right. That's the job of the spirit of Saul. That spirit, that worldly spirit that Saul had is still alive and well today, and he tries to get you faint and trying to figure out what all's going on. So you say, well, is it Saul or is it Jonathan? Is it this or is it? Are we supposed to go by Saul or are we supposed to go by Jonathan? That's confusion. Now, Solomon was a wise, wise man. And you know what I read about him? Now, this is outside of Scripture, but I'm just telling you, I read this somewhere. So maybe it's true. But Solomon was rumored to have been asked by the Queen of Sheba after she had made bouquets of real flowers and fake flowers. Now, the fake ones look really, really real, but she wanted to see if they could be discerned by him. You know what Solomon did in his wisdom? He just placed them in a window and saw which ones the bees came to. Now, you know what that means for us? Here you have all these conflicting views. You got Saul saying one thing and Jonathan saying another, so to speak. And you got all these things going on in the world today, and you got this spirit of the world trying to get you confused. You know what you need to do? Set those false flowers in the window with the real flowers and see which one the life will come to. Bees came to the ones where the life was. Bees. Now, where's the life? You think about the Lord produces life and the devil produces a path that leads to death. Are your choices leading you to life-giving things or things that bring death? Now, you know what brings death? Sin. Lust bringeth forth sin. Sin bringeth forth death. Where are you headed? On which path are you on? Is that a path of life, the path of the just? It shineth more, under the perfect day. Is what you're doing, is that going to lead you to having life and life more abundantly in Christ? Or is that going to be something that's leading you to death? When you make that choice, or you look at that news, or you look at whatever's coming into that feed, you say, okay, is this living feed? Are these false flowers or are these real living flowers? Set them in the window in the light of the Word of God and see. And you know what it'll do? It'll keep you from fainting. Why? If you will feed your soul like you feed your physical body, you know what it'll do? That'll keep you from fainting. Why? Keep you strong in the Lord. Are your choices producing life or are they producing death? I'm just trying to show you these things in the Bible. The first thing Saul does in the exercise of this selfish spirit is to impose on the people an obligation to fast until the day be over. That's what he's telling them. Jonathan was the true man of God. He was in far nearer fellowship with God than his father, Saul, and yet so far from approving of the religious order to fast, which his father had given, he regards it with displeasure and distrust. You know what you find out? Godly men will sometimes be found less outwardly religious than some other men, and will greatly shock them by being so. Don't just look at somebody just because they look flowery and they look like they look the part, so to speak. The old saying, don't judge a book by its cover. Some people outwardly look just wonderful, but the inside they're full of dead men's bones. Saul probably looked just wonderful, and here's Jonathan been out there on a battle, rugged and clothes probably tattered and probably had some rips in his shirt and bruises on his face. Here he is close to God. Some of you think, well, man, I look rough. You've been fighting the good fight of faith, and some people look so good because they hadn't been fighting. Some of you preachers and stuff like that, y'all been fighting the fight, man. Y'all look rough. I've seen a few of you, man. You just look rough. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but you look rough. But you know what it is? You've been fighting. You've been fighting a good fight of faith, man. I can see the tiredness in your eyes. I can see those busted blood vessels and things like that. And I can see the concern in your eye over somebody you love and things like that. Well, you're fighting a good fight of faith. Don't think, well, man, I'm just not getting anything done. And the ones I've been praying for, you know, they just not getting close to the Lord and things like that. Well, just take heart. You just don't be weary and well done. You'll reap if you faint not, that Bible said. The Apostle Paul to the Gentiles said that to you. You know what you need to do is just take heart. Don't faint. You think, man, I'm just spinning my wheels in this job and stuff. Well, if you're working for the Lord, the Bible says, do it heartily as unto the Lord. You're working for God. You get in that truck early in the morning. I know you got a hard job, and man, you've worked hard, and you're thinking, man, I done worked my fingers to the bone. Well, you know what you're able to do? You're able to, at the end of that day, say, hey, I done the best I could do for the Lord today. Now, here's Israel in this text, and you read back in chapter 8, they wanted unity with all the other nations. You know what it did? It led them to trouble. And they had been warned in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, verses 10 to 18. And I don't have time to go into that. But he had warned them. They said, we want a king like all the other nations in 1 Samuel 8, verse 5. They said, to judge us like all the... You better watch being wanting to be like everybody else. I don't want to be like everybody else. I've been in times in my life when I was younger where I wanted to be like some others. I haven't figured out, you like everybody else, most of the time you're in the wrong. But you know what Saul wanted? Saul got to the place, all right, he's got people who wanted to be like everybody else, and he wanted to be like everybody else. He wanted unity. You better be careful about unscriptural unity. I heard preachers of old say that they would rather had the Lord than unity. They would rather be divided by truth than united in error. Now, I tell you something, that's something you need to memorize right there. That's good. But you know what the spirit of Saul did? He wanted unity over his unscriptural command. But his unscriptural command starved the troops in battle. Oftentimes, you're going to find out in life the cure is more harmful than the disease. Now, are you getting to the place where you got the spirit of Saul? You think, well, I'll fix this. And the way you fix it was worse than it was anyway. Why you took matters in your own hands instead of going to God for it? Instead of going to God in prayer, a lot of times, people, the last thing they do, well, if we can't do nothing else, we'll pray. That's what you should have done first. I'm just telling you, that's the spirit of Saul, is to go by his own mind and go like the world goes and be like everybody else and leads everybody else to unity with the world. And that's the last thing we need. And Samuel warned him. He said he's going to take. In chapter 8, verses 10 through 18, he said he's going to take. And if I counted it one time, I think he says he's going to take six times. That's amazing. Amazing right there. He's got sixes all over him. Why, he's the type of the Antichrist, and you want to go against that spirit. Now, the first thing I want you to say, that was just introduction, and hope you got plenty of time to listen here. The spirit of Saul will make mountains out of molehills. You know what? I was fishing with a guy one time, and I saw him throw his rod and reel in a pond, trying to get away from a spider crawling on his hand. Here he is fishing, and the boy was silly anyway. Here he is fishing. He got so scared of that spider running up his hand, he threw his whole rod and reel in the pond. He made a mountain out of a molehill. You know what? Oftentimes, it's little things that gets us messed up. And that's what the spirit of Saul will do. You ever been, one time I was riding the bike, I nearly wrecked my bike because I got a speck of dust in my eye while I was riding. And I was trying to rub my eye and drive at the same time. I nearly wrecked my bike. And I would have done more damage wrecking my bike than I had if I'd just stopped for just a minute and rubbed my eye out. See, what I'm trying to tell you is oftentimes one little irritating thing will get to you. Like Saul, one little thing would irritate him, and he didn't care who he wrecked to get that thing out of his mind. That's the spirit of Saul. Now, have you got that? Will you wreck all kind of other things just because one little thing starts to irritate you? Okay, you better watch out, Mordecai. You ever read Book of Esther? Not Mordecai, but Haman. Haman was mad at Mordecai. And Haman ends up hanging on his own gallows because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. You see, what I'm trying to warn you about is you'll faint doing stuff like that. I read a story about a guy. He had made a great big old nice picnic. He had the finest china out and had these nice glasses out and had the spread out just right. And he was going to have a picnic by a pond, and he was going to propose to this lady. And as the story goes, a fly got to flying around him and everything. He got so mad and so worked up at that fly, he started swatting at that thing and tore up all his stuff, knocked dishes over and broke plates and stuff like that, trying to kill that fly. One little thing. Now, do you make mountains out of molehills? Some things, look, if you can't change it, what are you doing being so concerned about it? Now, one thing I want you to see about this, the spirit of Saul will make mountains out of molehills. And number one, I want you to see in verse 24, this was a command from Saul, not Scripture. The Bible says over there, Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food in the evening." Why? He wanted to get his way, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. You know what he does? He goes by something that you can't find that in the Bible. God didn't tell him to say that. He said it of his own mind. So the worldly spirit of Saul thought it was important, but God didn't even mention it. It did more harm than good. You know what? Oftentimes you come up with things, you got this idea you think is so good. And man, you're going to let them know, and you're going to tell them, and man, they're going to, everybody's, and then you get mad when everybody thinks it's not the best idea in the world. Okay, Saul, well, just go ahead and ruin it then. You see what you're going to do? You're going to get to the place to where you're just like Saul, and if you can't run it, so to speak, and man, like I said, a lot of them old sermons just start flowing in on me when I get to talking, but man, they was true. And if you can't run it, you'll wreck it. That's the dangerous thing to do. Look how many people you can hurt. You're going to starve people out. A lot of times, just because you think it's a good idea don't mean it is. If it's not in the Scripture and you can't find it in the Scripture, God must not thought it was important enough to put in there. You say, well, you, man, I tell you what, look what all we could get done. Well, you don't know. Maybe God don't want it to get done. I'm going to tell you, I'm learning. And I've got a long way to go. Lord have mercy, I've got a lot to learn. I'm telling you, I wonder how I got out of the bed 10 years ago, and I guess 10 years from now, I wonder how I got out of bed when I was this age. But a lot of the ideas I've had along the years wasn't near as good as I thought they were. And God doesn't have to have me. He can find somebody else. And you know what? Our selfishness, oftentimes, we think, man, it's got to be this way. And you know what? If God don't want it to be, I'm to the place now where I say, God, if you don't want it to be, I don't want it to be, no matter what it is, whether it's a church, whether it's a ministry, whether it's me doing something or going somewhere. If you don't want it, God, I don't want it either. And I hope that God will give me the grace to be able to have that mindset to where I don't starve other people out. It was selfish. And your selfishness will starve other people. Why? As long as you get what you want. He didn't care who he hurt. He didn't care at all. Why? It was unscriptural, and he should have not put as much emphasis on. No matter what the issue is, guess what? We're supposed to acknowledge God. You are supposed to acknowledge God. Look, this will go anywhere. But now this thing here, you can find it all in our mail today. But this illustrates it so good. Proverbs 3 verse 6, in all, not some. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, you're supposed to walk with God, aren't you? You're supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit, aren't you? Ephesians 5:18. Well, are you acknowledging? Well, if it's not in Scripture, and you can't find it, and you can't prove it, why are you getting mad about it, people, not doing what you think is supposed to be done when you can't find it in Scripture? What I'm telling you is, you know what you're doing? You don't realize that you've got the spirit of Saul. And you know what you're going to do? Before long, you're just going to throw your hands up and you're going to be out. You're going to be out. Now, why am I telling you that? I'm telling you because I'm seeing it. I'm seeing things, and I talk to people, thank God. I had the privilege of being able to talk to some people that love the Lord. And I'm telling you this right here. If you get to the place to where you're trying to do things that's unscriptural, you're going to get to the place to where you are going to be discouraged and you're going to faint. And not only that, but you're going to cause others to faint. Why? Because other people watching you, Saul. You got more influence than you think you have, Saul. And you know what? It just because you think, well, what I'm doing is only affecting me. No, the Bible says you don't live unto yourself. No man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to try your best to ask God to let you yield to Him. And don't have so much focus on outward unscriptural commands that cause you to neglect the main thing. Why? It's hypocrisy. You think about those people that crucify the Lord. They say, well, we're not going to go in. I'm not even going to step foot in the threshold of the judgment hall. Why? Because the Bible said, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. And yet, through their own consciences would not allow them to do that. The very same consciences, see, they were seared. When Pilate came out to them, declared Jesus, Pilate said, Jesus, this man's innocent. It didn't bother them. They went ahead and cried, crucify him. Not this man, but Barabbas. You know what you'll do? Your conscience will be clean on one thing and it'll be unclean on something else. Why? Because you just obey the parts you want to obey. What I'm telling you is it's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's unscriptural. This command was from Saul, not from Scripture. It blinds, self will blind you to the Savior. He didn't even think of the possibility that he could be wrong. You ever thought you might be wrong on something? It'll pitch you into division with other believers. What division, unscriptural division, is carnality according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. So you know what that lets me know? If the devil can get you fighting over non-scriptural grounds, he can get a place for you. Why? Because that's where that's his realm. If you get to a place where there's no final authority to go by in a matter, guess what? One opinion and another opinion, and guess what? The devil can come in and give you a third opinion. He can say, no, both of you's wrong. Why? Because he's got the ultimate lies. He's got the perfect mixture between truth and error, so you'll bite the error. Yes, the tree was good. Yes, it was pleasant. Yes, it was desired, but he didn't tell her to kill her. He's got truth. Yeah, Joyce Meyer has got truth. David Platt has got truth. Joe Osteen has got some truth. Benny Hinn has got some truth. Creflo Dollar has got some truth. The Pope has got some truth. Not much, but he's got it. He's a father of lies, but yeah, he's got some truth. But what I'm telling you is they give you just enough truth so you bite the lie. That's why I'm telling you have to go by Scripture, Scripture, Scripture. As we get closer to the coming of the Lord, you know, you hang on to that Bible with a bulldog grip on it. Why? You're going to need it. You're going to need it. Somebody comes in and says, well, you're not of God if you're wearing a dress, okay? Or if you're not wearing a dress, well, chapter and verse, please. You know, God, if you don't wear long hair, chapter and verse, please. You've been divorced, you can't preach, chapter and verse, please. Just, you have to have the Bible. How can you serve God? Well, look, God's using me. And I've got in here, and I guess what? I can get it underneath the blood, and when it's under the blood, it's gone. And the Lord Jesus Christ, if He's going to use me, I'm not concerned whether you want to use me or not. If God wants to use me, wherever. If He wants to take an old dirty dish rag and wipe up something on the ground with it, that'd be just fine with me. If He wants me to just be a door, hold a door open for somebody, that'd be fine with me. Just as long as I'm doing something for the Lord. As long as the Lord's in it, I want to be a part of it, no matter how big or small the world thinks it is. It's large if God's part of it. Not only was His command from Saul, not from Scripture, but the command serves self. Again, he abused his authority for self-interest. Now you think of this. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted because of the authority you have on others. Some people are older, and you're supposed to respect your elders. And you try to do that to some of them are real hard too, but you're supposed to do that. Well, are you abusing your authority over others just because you're older than somebody, or you're a boss of them, or you're a parent to them, or you're a good friend, and you know they respect you, and you know they'll do anything for you? Are you abusing that for your self-interest? Don't do that. The command served it serves self. Verse number 24 is commanded. Not only that, but you become an imitator. Now, you're not supposed to be an imitator of Christ. You're supposed to follow Christ. Jonathan, the Bible says, took only a little, and now he must die, we read. Now you think about that right there. God's son, Adam, took a little fruit and had to die. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to try to be godlike, knowing when others must die, so to speak, for small offenses that are life and death to you. It's life and death to you, isn't it? You see how you are? It's life and death to you. But you're not thinking about how it's affecting others, are you? You better watch that. You'll be an imitator. I'm not mad. I'm just telling you this stuff is going on. And I'm telling you, I heard a lady say one time, it's been several years back, and I was a lot younger then, but I asked God about it, and I talked to another preacher about it. She said, "This is my church." I said, okay. Well, if it's not God's church, I need to find God's church. You better be careful about what's yours. You know what the Bible says? You don't have anything you hadn't received of God. God gave you the very breath you are breathing. You understand that? God gave you that Bible. God gave you that family. God gave you that chair. God gave you that couch. God gave you that carpet. God gave you that car. God gave you that job. God gave you the water you're drinking. I'm telling you this, sometimes we get so boastful and so proud and so arrogant, we get to the place where we just think, it's mine, it's mine. No, correction is God's. You'll get to the place where you're as God's knowing, aren't you? You know what others need to do, and you know when somebody needs to get in, you know when somebody needs to get out, and all that stuff, and you know, and you know, and you know, yeah, you know too much. You know too much. What I'm telling you is lots of people, they won't kill physically, but they'll kill somebody's spirit. Just keep knocking them down. Just keep knocking them down, won't you? You know what you're doing? You're damaging things. You know what you're supposed to be doing? Building people up. You're supposed to build others up, man. I tell you something. I got a few friends. I'm amazed at their gift at being able to build others up. That's what we want to do. Edify. Help people. Man, give them a hand up. Give them a hand up. Now, number two, the danger of this spirit's madness in verse number 24. Here's some else for you. Well, I know I'm running out of time, but I want to give you these. You unintentionally hurt family and friends. According to verse number 24, so none of the people at the bottom of the verse tasted any food while they're fighting. According to verse number 39 of 1 Samuel chapter 14, the Bible says, for as the Lord liveth which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. He said, hey, even if it's Jonathan, he went against my command, which he didn't know what he was saying. Oftentimes you're saying things and you don't even know what you're saying when you're saying it. You're hurting people by that stuff. That gossip hurts people. You get on that phone and you talk bad about so-and-so, and guess what? You say, well, don't tell so-and-so. I told you this. Well, guess what? What if they slipped up and told them? And then guess what? The person that you talked about so bad, they couldn't even believe you said it, but they're not going to say anything to you, and they love you so much, they're not even going to say anything. But guess what? They know it, and it hurt their heart. You unintentionally hurt people with that spirit of Saul and putting things on others. I'm telling you, there's been a lot of people hurt people with that spirit right there and just saying whatever comes to mind. You're not supposed to do that. So I just tell the truth no matter. You better be careful with that stuff. Why? Because if you're supposed to have grace, your speech is supposed to be with grace. With grace. Yes, seasoned with salt. Yes, it's supposed to be balanced. But sometimes, some things, you just don't just come in there and say whatever you want to just because you don't care what nobody thinks about you. You hurt people with that stuff. Wow, if we don't want people to faint, we have to be careful about what we say to who we say it to. You get to putting things down on people that they can't do. Some people can't even get out. You're not of God, or you're not going to church. Well, man, you better be careful. You don't even know if they're locked in the home. Some of these people would love to come to church, but they can't get out. And you're putting things on, you're hurting people is what you're doing. And I tell you, you're going to wish you didn't do that one of these days. And like I said, I'm not mad. I may come across like I'm just warning you why you're going to hurt people. And you don't have to. Not only that, but you cause unneeded fear. Verse number 26, guess what? The bottom of the passage here in verse 26, for the people feared the oath. Ain't that something? They feared not the word of God, but they're fearing the word of Saul. Not the scripture, but Saul. You know what? I wonder how many people fear you instead of fear God. You get to the place where everybody's just scared. They just tiptoe around you while they're scared of offending you. You know what? People ought not have to be like that around Christians. You ought to be approachable. I thank God. I'm thinking of a pastor right now on my mind, and man, he don't even know how much of a blessing he is to me. He's approachable. Some of you guys, and you never know how these things gonna come across. Some of you aren't approachable. You just up there like you're not even a regular person. All of us, yeah, you're supposed to be a good example. I understand all that. But you're a person just like anybody else. Let people talk to you. Yeah, if they slip up and say a bad word, whatever. You've said them too. That's not saying sit here and listen to filthy talk. But if you can't get in there and witness to some of these people, who are you going to witness to? Are you witnessing to lost people or what? You get in here and some of these people are learning the Bible and some people are trying. And you never know what kind of environment some of these people are growing up in. Man, try to help somebody. Cause unneeded. They're scared to death of Saul because Saul will chop your head off. Now, is that what you do with people? Do you chop their head off? They make you mad and you just right off the bat. It's okay to get mad and let not the sun go down upon thine anger and stuff like that. I understand those verses are in there. But man, for the most part, we ought to be kind people who can get along with folks. In your home, you got a home where everybody's scared to death to do anything. You drop something scared to death, what's going to happen? Things, kids having to tiptoe around and all this stuff. Home should be a happy place, a slice of heaven. Man, I tell you, some of these homes aren't like this. And man, it should be. They ought not be scared to death of you. That's the spirit of Saul. It's the danger of this spirit's madness in this world. I'm telling you, don't let it want to cause you to faint. Why? Not only you unintentionally hurt family and friends, you cause unneeded fear, you cause others to faint. Verse number 28, look here. It says at the bottom of the verse, and the people were faint. Just these outlines just fall right out of the passage. Look at verse number 31. And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon. I looked at my Bible map. That's 15 miles. And the people were very faint. They're fighting up here, just fighting a good fight of faith. And here you are with your spirit's madness trying to cause them to faint. Don't even realize it. I want to tell you some small little things that you say can really get into people. A little small leak can sink a great ship. You can have a little small gas leak in your house, and if you neglect that thing, you blow your whole house up. So a small word can do great damage. What I'm telling you is use your word. Death and life and death are in the power of the tongue. Won't you use that tongue to lift somebody up? Won't you use that tongue to speak well of others? Now, I'll tell you something, Mama used to say and was right, if you can't say something good, just don't say it at all. I wish I could have implemented that more. I can't believe, I think back and I thank God for forgiveness, but I can't think of how many times I said things. I wish I could have took that back. You know what? Swallowing angry words is better than having to eat them afterwards. You know what we need to do? Watch our tongue. Don't just throw things out there unscripturally all the time. Not only that, but you hinder the ability to fight. Verse number 30, again, he said, how much more if happily the people had eaten freely? If you feed people with the word of God and good conversation, man, and edifying, and man, just being a joy to be around sometimes and just give them something good. You know what you can do? You can give them some honey, something sweet sometimes. You ain't always got to come up and say, guess what else is going on? You wouldn't believe what I seen on the news the other day. 50 people died, so-and-so, death. Just death, 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 all the time. Well, that's true. Yeah, it's true. I'm sure 50 people did, 30 people did, whatever. And we say these facts. We talk about these. But that shouldn't be all you talk about. You got to give them some life. Man, we had a blessing today. Man, thank the Lord. We got in here and read the Bible together with our family. Man, so-and-so brought me some food over, and so-and-so was so kind and nice to me and stuff like that. Look, I'm learning. Some people, they're just a storm cloud. You know what it does? It hinders your ability to fight. And you know what the best thing to do is separate yourself from that type of stuff. You know what else you can do? Here's the danger, and I'm trying to get to the good part, and we'll close out with that. But you cause them to get out of fellowship. Look at verse number 32. They get so hungry. It says, and when the people flew upon the spoil, took sheep and oxen, calves, and slew them on the ground. What a thing. And the people did eat them with the blood. According to Leviticus 3:17, that's against the word of God. They weren't supposed to eat with the blood. You're not supposed to do that, even in the church eating. That's supposed. So guess what happened? They operate against God's word. Your unscriptural command, saying, well, I know this is so, and you got all the reasoning, I'm sure. You just like the devil. You got plenty of reasoning to back it up, don't you? Human reasoning, that is. You got human logic, okay? But you come let us reason together, saith the Lord, and reason with the Lord. Now, the scriptures, you won't do that, will you? You know what you're going to do? You're going to get to the place to where you got people out of fellowship, and they're going by your word, Saul, instead of the word of God. You know what? Let us try to be a blessing to people and make the world a more pleasant place by speaking of the oracles of God. Now, we've seen these things here, and I hope maybe you've taken some heart and there's some serious things here. But here is how not to give in to the movements. Verse number 27. Jonathan took and he dipped the end of that rod in a honeycomb. Now, first thing I want you to see how to not give in to these movements is stay separated. Now, I wonder why he didn't hear that charge. He says in verse number 27 of the Bible says, but Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with that. He didn't even hear it. Evidently, he didn't feel like he had to be up to date on the current events of what the spirit of the world, Saul, was doing and saying. Your first father, Saul, his first father, is of the devil, according to John 8:44. The Lord Jesus Christ looked at those Sadducees and Pharisees, those religious people, and said, ye are of your father, the devil. And look, you don't have to be up on the constant confusing, contradicting commands to be enlightened. You got to be enlightened. I wonder what's going on here. I wonder what's going on there. I'm telling you, that's so dangerous. And man, it's so prevalent today. It's like an addiction. They're addicted to the information to get enlightened on the contradicting, confusing, damaging effects of what that brainwashing and that propaganda brings in your life, and it will damage you. Stay separated from that thing. Notice that just a dip. I mean, he gets in that honeycomb. He dipped it in honeycomb. Man, I tell you what. Just a little dip in the Word of God. Just one scripture. I know some people, they just read it. But maybe you don't have time today or tomorrow but just to read one verse. But I want you to know one verse of scripture can give you more light than 1,000 news stories. One verse. The trouble is, oftentimes you just don't believe it, do you? Man, I tell you what, it's nothing like getting in this Bible. Sometimes, man, it's amazing how alive this. The more I read it, the more I want to read it, the more I feed off of it, the more I want to feed off of it, the more I get just the light of the Word of God gets brighter and brighter every day. The more you walk on that path, the more you get closer to the light. Why? Because day by day, I'm getting closer to seeing my Savior. I'm walking on the lamp under my feet, a light under my path, and that path is leading to the greatest light above the brightness of the sun. Stay separated. Man, whew, what a Savior. What a book. What a book, man. Not only stay separated, but stay sensitive to the Spirit. Verse number 27, I want you to see there. Separation keeps you sensitive, so you'll be attracted to the sweetness of the honeycomb instead of the bitterness of the world. That's what that'll do. If you will get to the place where you will develop a taste for the things of God. Now look, you have to develop a taste for things that you're not used to. Coffee, if you're not used to it, It kind of tastes like a dirty sock. I mean, not to say I've ever tasted a dirty sock, but you have to develop a taste for it. I drink vinegar and honey for they say it's healthy for you, so I've been drinking it long enough. Guess what? I have gotten used to the taste of it, and it don't bother me a bit. But you have to develop a taste for these things. Now, you know what you have to do? You got to get to the place where you enjoy a conversation that has a taste of Scripture to it. Now, honey isn't Scripture, but it says it's, if you'll notice in the text here, I believe it's, I didn't write it down, but he said, over the psalmist said over there, that the Word of God is like honey. I believe it was Psalm 119, 103. Let me make sure that's the right. I think it is. Somebody's listening to me right now probably saying, yeah, of course it is. You know that's the Scripture, but I want to make sure. Yeah, it says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. It's likened unto honey. So guess what? Good conversation. It may not be Scripture, but it's like it. What I'm saying is you may not be talking Scripture with somebody, but you can have a scriptural conversation that's in line with the Bible, and you need to get to the place to where you develop a taste for that type of conversation. You know what it'll do? Keep you sensitive to the Spirit. A lot of you are not sensitive to the Spirit because you'll just talk about anything with anybody. And look, I'm going to tell you this too. Get to the place where you won't just listen to anything. Why if people feel comfortable enough to say something about to you? That's like around your friends and stuff like that. Or somebody talking about my friend. I've got some of my friends, people know I like them. They know not to talk bad about them. I don't want anybody feeling comfortable enough around me to talk bad about somebody I'm close to. Why? Because, look, I love them. And if you talk bad about them, you and I are going to have trouble. So you know what the best thing to do is don't talk to me about that type of stuff. What I'm telling you is get the Word. If you want to stay sensitive to the Spirit, stay scriptural and keep your conversation scriptural. And that'll keep you sensitive to the Spirit. Psalm 81 verse 16 says, he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied? God would satisfy you with that honey. He said in Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth him. I'm telling you what, you trust God, it's nothing like the blessings that come from it. You know the difference between worldly spirit philosophies and the Holy Spirit. Now, a couple things I wanted to tell you about this thing, about these worldly philosophies, and stay away from these type of ideas and these type of ideologies, I think is the word. And you know what it do? It'll help you stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Stay away from this spirit. Everybody else does it. Stay away from that. We've always done it. That's how we've always done it that way, you know. You better stay away from that. A little bit doesn't hurt. I got this out of school, and I think it's wonderful. I've got it written in the margin of my Bible. My conscience doesn't convict me. That's worldly philosophy. That's the spirit of Saul. That's that worldly Saul spirit. And you won't be sensitive to the Holy Spirit thinking like that. We know when to quit. I've heard people say that. We know when to quit. No, you don't. You got to make a living, you know. It all depends on how you look at it. You know what? All that is, those worldly philosophies are just an alibi to sin. That's the world. That's attitudes of the world. That'll give you the conscience you need. That'll just give you just enough conscience to think you're doing something right. And it'll give you an alibi to sin. What I'm telling you is this. If you're going to go by biblical Christianity, you know what you need to ask yourself? And I'm talking about being sensitive to the Spirit. You need to ask yourself, is it right? Will this please God? Does it edify? Is it expedient? Will it bring glory to God? Can I thank God for it? Man, you think about how many things that'd clear up. How's this going to look at the judgment seat of Christ? Look, I got that stuff in school. I'm telling you something. That's worth its weight in gold. I thank God for those men who've taught me these things. Why? You've got to be taught of God. That God will put you in line with other people. If you stay sensitive to the Spirit and you can seek people out who love His Word, and they'll lead you and they'll guide you and they'll try to be a help and blessing to you. That's what you want to be to somebody. You want to be the kind of person that can be said of you, hey, that person right there loves the Lord and they want to get you closer to God. And you know what? Those things I just read off to you will help you stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit if you apply it to your heart and life. I believe that. I honestly believe that. Not only that, but stay seasoned. Stay seasoned. Again, verse number 29, we're coming to a close here. Then said Jonathan, My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. Bible says again, Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace first. Here's the balance season with salt that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So you know what you're going to see? Seasoned speech can point out the trouble without causing confusion. You know what he did? He pointed, he said, I'm going to tell you who's doing the trouble. My father is. You know who is? Old Adam. You know who did? Self, the old man. There's where the trouble is. You know who the trouble is? While you, old you, look in the mirror. There's your trouble right there. The old man, the old father right there. What I'm trying to tell you is point out the trouble. Look, I don't have time to fight all these false doctors. Look, there's so much false doctrine now. There's people I love. When I go to that church and I stand at that pulpit, there's people I went to school with that I know have gotten saved right now, and I pray for their families, and I pray for y'all. I love you. And look, I don't have time to point out all these false doctrines these modern false teachers doing. So you know what I have to do? I have to name them. Hymenaeus and Philetus. Hymenaeus and Alexander. Alexander the coppersmith. Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to stand up there and name my congregation. I wouldn't do that for nothing in this world. But you better believe I'm going to name false teachers. Why? Because I don't have time to fight all the false doctrine. You got to get to the place where you stay seasoned and you don't mind naming where the trouble is. And don't blame it on other folks. If it's you, hey, it's me. I need God to help me. Now, I hope these things will be a help to you. And I hope maybe something's been said to be a help to you, but a lot of it's just a warning to say, man, stay in the fight. God already knew all this stuff was going on, so how are you doing? If you're ready to faint, I want to encourage you that your Savior didn't faint. So guess what? He knows just what it's like to go through the trials that you went through. He was tempted in all points that we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to be under such pressure. Literally, the weight of the world was on him. He had the sin of the entire world on him. So you know what that tells me? He can help me and he can help you. I want you to know whatever you're going through right now, I know it may be hard. I know it may be tough. I know you may be getting to the place where you're wanting to faint. I know you may be getting to the place where you're saying, look, I don't know what I'm going to do. I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ can help you. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ can, if he needs to, he can lead you to somebody else. If he needs to, he can keep you from harming your own self. You see how this text right here, a lot of times he can keep you. You say, well, I don't even know what all's going on. A lot of times it's best that we don't know what all's going on. But I know this right here, he can protect your heart and your mind and keep you clean. And keep you to a place to where you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you know what to do when you don't know what to do. You know where to go when you don't know where to go. Why? Because he's leading you. He's guiding you. And he's faithful. I want you to know I can point you to a Savior that's faithful. Brothers and sisters, he's faithful. And I thank God for it. I want to thank God for that. And I hope this message finds you well. And I hope you have a great day in the Lord. And keep fighting a good fight of faith. God bless you.